Hello, everybody, and welcome to this kickoff call for the Zone File Access Advisory Group. My name is Craig Schwartz, and I'm ICANN's Chief gTLD Registry Liaison, and I will primarily, for the most part, be the facilitator of these calls. I do want to thank you for volunteering and for being part of this effort. We've got about 60 minutes scheduled for the call today, and do want to remind folks that the call is being recorded and that it will be posted on the Zone File Access information page on ICANN's website a little bit later this afternoon. I also do want to warn folks that I'm facilitating the meeting as well as the Adobe Connect and the meeting view, so I'm wearing a few hats at the same time and just ask for your patience if we need it. As mentioned, I'll be the primary ICANN staff representative for this work, but we'll also be joined by my colleagues, David Piscitello from the ICANN security team, and they will be joining the call in about 30 minutes, and also Mark McFadden, who is a consultant who is doing some work with our IANA folks at ICANN. Also for today's call, we'll be having about a 10 or 12 minute presentation by Rod Rasmussen, who is the president and CTO of Internet Identity, and he's going to talk at a high level about access to our enhanced access to zone file information. And then later in the agenda, we'll talk about soliciting co-chairs, volunteer co-chairs, to help facilitate the work, starting with the meeting in January. So before we get started, what I'd like to do is run through the agenda. And what we'll start is with the background and introduction. We've got 20 minutes allocated to that. We'll introduce the core Zone File Access team. We'll then follow that up with a roll call of the volunteers. We'll have an opportunity to amend the agenda if there are items that folks would like to see added. We'll talk about background and communications resources, and I'll get into more detail about that in a moment, and key communication resources as well. Then following that, we'll spend about 20 minutes on goals and objectives of the advisory group. And I'll speak for a few moments in that section, but that's where Rod Rasmussen will make his presentation. And then we'll spend about 10 minutes on next steps and talk about the meeting schedule, co-chairs, and program task development. And then we should have about 10 minutes at the end of the call for general questions and comments. So if there are no questions or comments actually at this point, I'd like to go back to the first agenda item, which is the background and the introduction. So the concept of enhanced access to zone file information has really come out of the work that ICANN and the community has been doing on the implementation plan for new gTLDs. For folks that have been following the evolution of the draft applicant guidebook since it was first published a little more than a year ago, after the second version was published in May, what came out of that was a categorization of a number of overarching issues for them, to be specific. And one of those overarching issues is what's come to be known as the potential for malicious conduct. And so after prior to the publication of the third version of the guidebook, which was just in October, there was an explanatory memorandum document that was provided to the community that talked about a number of activities that could be implemented around the concept of mitigating malicious conduct. And this is where enhanced zone file access was first in print. I mean, there were some discussions with different members of the community prior to Seoul, but it's really the first time that something was published. So the issue that we're looking at here within the bounds of this group is taking on an investigation of the legitimate business purposes of access to zone file data and how we can as a community make it more readily accessible for the folks that need to have it, and to do so in a scalable model given the likelihood of tens or potentially hundreds more TLDs once the new gTLD program launches. So if I had to phrase what I think the purposes of this group are, it's to discuss the benefits and methods to effectively and efficiently enhance access to zone file information, and secondly, to develop a concept paper for discussion that would be used during ICANN's meeting in Nairobi. And you'll probably hear me mention ICANN's meeting in Nairobi a couple of times, simply because that's the goal that I think the group has in terms of developing materials that would be used for broader community discussion in a public setting. So that's really the background to enhance access to zone file information. What I'd like to also do is introduce the core ICANN staff doing work on this project. And we've got a cross-functional team that's involved in this work. From our security team, we've got Greg Rattray, who is ICANN's Chief Internet Security Advisor. We've got Jeff Bickers, who's ICANN's Director of Security. We've got Dave Piscatello, who's a Senior Security Technologist. And then we've got Andy Welch, who is from KPMG, but doing a lot of work with the security team. From the services team, we've got Kurt Pritz, who's the Senior VP of Services. We've got myself and my direct colleague, Francisco Arias, who is the gTLD Registry Technical Liaison. From our legal team, we should have Dan Halloran joining us. And we've got Kim Davies from our IANA team, as well as Mark McFadden, who I mentioned earlier is doing some consulting work with IANA, and who will be assisting Dave and I with this particular project. So what I'd like to do next is move to a roll call, and the list of volunteers was previously published, so while I'm not going to identify your affiliation, if you provided one, I'm just going to read off the names. So if you could just let me know that you're here, that would be great. Mike O'Connor?
I'm here.
Thanks, Mike. John Levine?
I'm here.
Thank you. Nacho Amadoz? Nacho? Okay. Michael Pelage? I don't think Michael's going to be joining us in this group. I could be wrong. Adam Palmer?
Yes.
Thanks, Adam. David Maher?
Here.
Thanks. Vladimir Shadrinov?
I'm in.
Thank you. Brian Cute? Tom Barrett? Paul Stahura? Rick Wilhelm?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Rick.
Hi.
James Bladle?
Here.
Hi, James. Tatiana?
Here.
Thank you. Rod Rasmussen?
I'm here.
Rod Dixon? No Rod Dixon. Joe St. Sauve?
This is Joe.
Hi, Joe. Wang Wei?
Yep, I'm here.
Thanks, Wang. John Kristoff?
Yes, hello, everyone.
Thank you. Jonathan Frakes?
I'm here.
Thank you. And Teresa Lopes? Teresa, okay. And let's see, is Annie Welch on the line? I know Dave Piscatello will join us a little bit later. Kurt Pritz? I know Kurt is with us. Jeff Bickers. Dan Halloran. Okay, so that is the roll call for the volunteers. The next item in the agenda is to review and amend the agenda. And I wonder if there are any comments or questions that folks have so far about the agenda itself. Great. So seeing none, we'll move on to the background and communications resources. As folks know, ICANN published a couple of weeks ago a briefing document about the work on this particular advisory group, and the link to that document is provided in the agenda and is also posted on the Zone File Access information page on ICANN's website. In terms of key communication resources, there is an email address set up for this group. It's simply zfa-ag@icann.org. And any information that needs to be distributed either by myself or anyone within the group for that matter, if folks would please send it to the public email address, that would be great. It'll be good to use this for dialogue and sharing information and ideas in between our scheduled calls. Now we've got the public mailing archive list. The address there is provided to you. We've also got an Adobe Connect link that we will use from time to time. Presume that if we don't say we're not going to use it, that we'll use it in every session. So can folks on the call, is anyone still having an issue with the link?
This is John Christoph. I am, but it seems that it's because it doesn't have a plug-in for Linux, so I'll have to find an alternative means to get in.
Okay, John. If we need to connect on that after the call, why don't we do that? See if we can get you the help, if that's something we can do. And then all materials associated with the work that we do will be posted on the ZFA program information page. Again, this is on ICANN's website. It's where the MP3 recording of this call will be posted later this afternoon. It's also the page where the public archive list is maintained. And any other type of information that needs to be shared with this group and needs to be publicly available for folks following this issue. So that is really the background and introduction section of the agenda, and we're running pretty much right on time, which is nice to see. In terms of item number two, the goals and objectives, this is really broken down into two items for today, and we're not gonna delve deep into details on this kickoff call, but the idea is to start to get some ideas out there and start to generate some dialogue. So when we have the first call on, or the next call on January 8th, that we can get to work. So in terms of the overall program goals and objectives, and I think they are one and the same, and that is to investigate and propose scalable solutions to enhancing access to zone file information. And I have to emphasize the word scalable. Right now, the way access to zone file information is handled is through an individual agreement with each of the TLDs. And in an environment where we maybe have 50 or 100 TLDs executing individual agreements for zone file access to each TLD, could be cumbersome and could be difficult. It also could be administratively and costly for the TLD operators themselves, depending on their size and the level of interest in zone file data. And another goal is that we want to be sure that we adequately address the community concerns that have been raised, those that were raised during the public comment process. And I have to say, generally, the public comments received on this topic are supportive. There are questions that have been raised on how to operationally do something like this, the challenges and issues that it might raise with regard to security and access and control. But we'll get into all of those details in our next call.
Thank you.
Pardon? Did someone have a question?
No, this is Nacho joining. Sorry for the delay.
Oh, hi, Nacho. Hey, James.
Hi.
James Blado, looks like you have a question.
Yeah, Craig, thanks. I apologize if this is out of sequence a little bit, but I think most of my experience, and I recognize some of the names on the group as well, are through PDP and GNSO type activities, and this group is a little different. And maybe can you go over the process of what we'll be doing and what the major milestones we're looking for will be in the next, you know, between now and Nairobi?
Well, the item 3.3 on the agenda is the program task development, and I think that's where we'll start to talk about what the milestones are, what the timeline is, what the mechanics are in terms of getting the work done, identifying the principles, the requirements, and the controls around the solution. So
I'll hold till then. Thank you.
Sure. Do we have, are there any other questions at the moment? So hearing none, what I'm going to do now is turn the discussion over to Rod Rasmussen, and I will pull up his presentation, and we'll also, he's going to take control and walk us through this. If folks have questions, if you could raise your hand in the Adobe room, that would be great, or feel free to speak up too. I mean, it's a fairly small group, and kind of keeping it informal is always sort of nice. So, Rod?
Thank you, Craig. Thanks, everybody, for participating. It's great to have this many folks interested in something that's fairly esoteric to the rest of the world, but very important to us. And my Adobe thing is coming up right now, so I'm going to... does everybody have the slides in front of them that's on Adobe? I'll take that as a yes, unless somebody doesn't see the slides, come to think of it.
And, Rod, I'd say you have about 15 minutes, give or take, to run through this, so, you know, take the time you need.
Okay, yeah, and I don't think it will take that long. I really just want to talk about some of the background of why this has come up, why this is an issue, try and do it from a high level and explain what is happening in general, so we can kind of frame what's going on. Craig, I don't have control at the moment.
Okay, let me see.
It keeps flipping back and forth. And I've got control. Let's see if I moved it one. So
you should try it again right now.
Yeah, I did. I think I'm on the second on the impetus issues for change.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm actually not seeing that.
Okay.
Now I am.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of doing a little dance on my screen here in front of me. So this is these are just some of the issues that came up. Craig already went over a lot of this in his introduction, and really it's all about, you know, the scaling to have being able to support potentially hundreds of different connections here, you know, the issues those bring up as far as just managing data flow. I'm a consumer of these zone files, so I have that point of view. And from that point of view, right now I have to talk to a few registries every day and get their zone files and manage all the passwords and making sure we actually get the files and things like that. So there's lots of opportunities for error as you scale this thing out. And then, of course, you have to join in legal agreements, et cetera, for every one of those. But at the same time, I think there's a real issue with or a real desire to keep operational costs and various impacts as low as possible for the new GTLD operators. And, you know, if we can at the same time improve things for the current registries, that would be great. And I think there is a chance to do that and to improve overall accuracy of what information is being disseminated and the resilience and security of the entire system. So those are some of the reasons for having this proposal here. Let me see if I can move to the next page, because what I've done is I've graphing there. It is bounced again there, Craig. Well, let me see if I can get it. It keeps going back and forth between me being presenter and me being a recipient of the presentation. Let's see if I can get it to move over one here. I've done some just some graphically what the current situation looks like, and it is not moving. Oh, here we go.
I just moved it, Rod.
Okay, oh, thank you. That might just be the best way to do it.
Yeah, why don't you just give me a shout when you want me to advance
yeah,
it?
Yeah, no problem. We'll do that. So kind of the current, you know, point of view of the consumer of this data, as I've, you know, you're looking at the various TLDs that you can download zone files from, and I've got a diagram there for those of you on Adobe Connect. You've got the consumer as the middle, and then you've got the various registries, all with arrows pointing to the consumer that represent. Those arrows represent obviously the data connections you need to do that, but also legal agreements in order to make those connections. And you've got to manage security, and then you also have different policies being implemented by all those different groups that the data consumer pulls data from. Could you move to the next slide, please, Craig? And the next slide, if it comes up here, hopefully, shoot. Would be the point of view from the registry of all the different consumers of data out there and all the, you know, the dozens, hundreds, whatever the number of connections is, depending on how many people are downloading zones. So you've got a registry at the center and a nice little fan arrangement here. And I've just highlighted a few different types of data consumers that might be out there from law enforcement to government to ISPs, security vendors to, trademark attorneys to all the kinds of people who are getting zone files for whatever business purpose they're doing. And again, you've got arrows representing data connections, legal agreements, and all the security that you have to do, et cetera. So that's the taking the point of view of the registry and showing how that's a fairly complex system, and it's a one-to-many. I'll go to the next slide, if you could.
Yeah, it's.
And I'm going to have to pull up.
Yeah, I'm sorry, we're having some.
That's fun. what is it? A Wednesday morning without computer problems right off the bat. Or morning for me, I guess it's afternoon for several of you, evening even. Then the next slide I have is kind of the overall system where you have all these different consumers pulling from the current registries that are out there. And it's interesting, it gets fairly complex, but it's still fairly manageable. But there's a lot of overlap, as you can see. The challenge then comes, I think, when you go to the next slide, is the future potential is under the current system. You have now the consumer has potentially hundreds of different TLDs to pull from, which becomes, you know, a pretty big challenge in and of itself, where now the consumer looks just like the registry as far as having to manage lots of different agreements and connections and things like that. So that's the point of view of the consumer. And then the next slide is taking that and putting it across what does the entire industry look like. And this is interesting because what I did is I took the consumer view, and there's a cool little feature of PowerPoint that lets you do these kind of slide graphs and set up relationships. And so if you shrink that down so you can get a bunch of them on one page, which is my goal here, it becomes pretty complex. And what happened to me when I was building this graph is that it became so complex for PowerPoint that it started crashing on me. So I have a little box in there, but it kind of brought it home to me as I was creating this, that, wow, this is complex, and it creates this ability to overwhelm a system and break it. Just an example of what the relationships look like and just track on them. So clearly there's kind of a scaling question here as this grows out, how difficult is this going to be to manage from both sides of the equation here? I think we want to take a look at alternative models, which is the next slide I've got there, Craig.
Yeah, perfect.
And there's been discussions about a couple of different models, and I think there's many models possible. I think the bottom line there is the goal is to get a solution that works for everybody so that we can scale this well, have a secure robust system that everybody can use. A couple of different approaches would be, you know, kind of a centralized storage model, which is kind of a traditional, you know, you get information in, you have a central place to retrieve it from. You might have different rules about who gets to get to which files, and you have, you know, basically a central repository model where you have the files stored there to make it easy to get to. The other model that's been proposed is more of a proxy system where you have the data consumers authenticate and do their, you know, their support and agreements and all that through a central operator of some sort. And then that operator provides secure connections to the actual registries themselves so that the registries still have the, you know, they're actually providing the data flow, but you have a centralized point for security and access and all that kind of thing. So there's a couple different approaches, and I think there's potentially others out there as well. But the goal is to simplify the system and again, make it work for everybody in scale. The next slide kind of shows the concept of bringing the two sides together to create a single data flow model of some sort, where you have the consumers of data and the registries being able to, you know, to take all those millions of, I don't know, millions, hundreds of fans, and make just kind of like two fans here and make a. Kind of came nicely together if I put it on its side to make a circle of data transfer, et cetera. But, you know, if you take and look at that from the viewpoint of each, the data consumer and the data provider, which would be the registries, you could take a look and see how this simplifies the model quite a bit. So the next slide shows the point of view from the data consumer, and that becomes a lot more simple. I have a single place I go to in order to get my, you know, either my connection or my data or what have you, you know, that's a lot easier to manage from a security agreements, policy, all that kind of thing. I can manage that a whole lot easier. And then the next slide is, of course, the same, looks very similar, but it's from the registry's point of view. If I've got my data that flows through this this proxy or consolidation point. And again, I've got a very easy to manage, very easy to secure model in order to support. So that makes, again, life a lot easier and I think a lot less expensive and removes a lot of the chance for error. So that's the kind of the visual thing. And then the last slide I have is some concerns and issues that obviously come up on this. You know, we talk about security. Well, how does that really work? How do we enforce policies that different registries may have about the use of their data? Is this resilient? Is it stable? You know, and by looking at the models, inherently you might say yes, but then, you know, the proof is in the pudding, as they say. How do you make that actually work? And then how do we ensure the registries have visibility into who's using their data and what's going on with it? And I think there's obviously some other concerns and issues too, but those are some of the high-level ones that have come up in conversation and that were pretty obvious from putting these proposals together. So that's my quick background on that. I just wanted to kind of explain, you know, where this was coming from, at least from my point of view, and bring up some of the, you know, the issues and things that have come up in conversation over the last couple of months on this.
Thanks, Rod. Are there any questions or comments for Rod about his presentation?
This is Rick Wilhelm. The one thing that I would offer is that the picture from the registry's point of view is all those connections are standard, you know, across the fan. From the consumer's point of view, they're all different. But an individual registry, they sort of have a way that they make it work, and then they make it work for them. And so the multitude of connections is not I would offer that it's not as much of a concern for the registries, because that's one of the things that registries are good at, managing identical connections of a number of connectees and having regular way of handling those, standard way of handling those.
Thanks, Rick. James, I think you raised your hand with a question.
Yeah, and it's probably not as large a concern as it was a moment ago, but to add to Rod's list, and thanks for this material, by the way, Rod, there's also a financial or transactional component, if I'm not mistaken, between all of these. The registries offer Zone File or Zone Data access on a secure subscription basis, so you may also have to look at how that would scale or how that would be addressed in a new system.
Thanks, James. John Levine, I think you have a question?
Yeah. My comment is just that I agree with everything that Rod said, and that from my point of view, the system is broken now. I mean, there are registries I've repeatedly asked to get Zone File access to that have never responded. So I think, you know, even before we had hundreds of new GTLDs, I think it's important to have a standard process that works for both sides. And also, we need to keep in mind that we need to have some sort of accountability. If somebody on either side misbehaves, we need some way to redress that.
Thanks, John. Now, I've got a growing queue of people who have raised their hands in the Adobe room. Rod, was there something you wanted to respond to before I get to the queue?
Yeah, just quickly on James's financial issues point. I think that's for the enhanced registry services. And this proposal was on the kind of the standard free one, to, for lack of a better term, the daily Zone File transfer, which I believe, now correct me if I'm wrong, some of the registry operators, I believe all registries are required or are providing that on a non-cost basis at this point for the Zone transfer, the daily one at least. But I'm not talking the enhanced one.
Yeah, every GTLD registry operator has an appendix to their registry agreement that contains a Zone File access request form. And if folks are having problems getting access to the Zone for a particular TLD operator, they ought to touch base with myself or Dave Giza in ICANN's compliance department. And there could be any one of a number of reasons why access was denied, and I obviously don't want to get into that on the phone now because we don't have all the information. But registries are supposed to do that, and if they're not, we ought to find out, you know, why that's not happening and what kind of follow-up can be done to assist folks that have a legitimate need for Zone File access. I think the next hand up is John Kristoff.
Yes. I just kind of to echo a little bit of Rod's experience. I've also been accessing Zone Files for a while. And from the consumer side, well, I have worked at a registry perspective, or my experience is on the consumer side. The access to the Zone Files may be straightforward for the registry, but as a consumer, it's often very different on how you actually obtain the access, whether it's via HTTP or FTP, and actually automating that is a challenge because a lot of people who access it want to do it on an automated basis.
Sure.
And even sometimes finding who to get a hold of and who to contact to get access to the Zone Files has been a bit of a challenge for me. So just from a consumer perspective, that's my thought.
Thanks, John. Jonathan, I think you're next in the queue.
Yes, thank you. Great presentation, Rod, and thank you for doing this group. I hadn't realized we'd have a background presentation like this, and I had taken and made some effort to kind of gather some questions to folks who work with Zone Files in a variety of different manners, and I collected answers to questions 4 through 6. Which kind of cover this and sent them to the email list. I tried to do this in advance of the call, but if folks haven't reviewed it, they may want to take a look because it kind of complements what Rod's made as a presentation here.
Jonathan, when did you send that?
Just probably about 5-10 minutes before the call.
Okay. I definitely have not seen it, and I suspect probably others haven't as well.
Craig, it is posted to the archive.
Okay, great, thanks.
So it's available if folks want to look at the archive.
Yeah, and if folks want to start to have a dialogue about it on the mail list, that's great. And if I'm sure that we can also work some of that into our agenda for the next meeting when we start to really dive into the details and start to ask ourselves the questions that are both posed in the briefing document and others that come up. I don't see any other hands in the queue. Rick Wilhelm, did you raise your hand again?
Yeah, that's another one.
Okay, go for it.
So, Rod, this is JTK also, but from the perspective of consumers, how different are the agreements? And I understand that the technical way that you connect to the registries is varied, but are the agreements themselves largely standardized?
My experience is that they're very similar. There's some slight differences. So they do have to be reviewed, but in general, they're very similar to each other. Now, that's not to say, of course, that with new GTLDs, they may come up with some new and interesting ways of writing legal agreements. But yes, currently, I think they're very similar, with some slight differences between them.
This is Dave Piscitol joining.
Hi, Dave. Welcome. Are there any further questions or comments either for Rod about his presentation or the material we've covered so far before we move on to item number 3 on the agenda? Okay. So the next item, next steps, item 3.1 is the upcoming meeting schedule starting with January 8th. And I know that January 8th is a Friday, and the reason that I proposed this meeting on a Friday rather than a Thursday or a Wednesday is that I think this group will generally meet on Thursdays, and I do already know that there's a conflict for Thursday, January 7th. So the next meeting will be on Friday the 8th, but then the following week after that we'll move to a Thursday schedule at the same time with the same dial-in information. The next item on the agenda is the identification of volunteers to co-chair the advisory group. And while ICANN staff is certainly here to support the work and generate the product that needs to be discussed amongst the group, we feel like it would be good to have two members of the community volunteer to assist in the overall program development. Assist in establishing and managing some of the program timelines, providing a review and comment on some of the draft materials, and then providing support as necessary with program communication. So what we are requesting is that anyone who's interested in volunteering as a co-chair to submit to the email list a brief description of your interest and your affiliation, if any, by this Friday. And then if folks want to chime up on the list about supporting, you know, a particular co-chair, that would be great. Ideally, we'd like to have the co-chairs announced by the next meeting. And, you know, if we have more than two, we will need to come up with a system for identifying who the two will be. We went through the same exercise yesterday with another advisory group, the High Security TLD Advisory Group. And I was really pleased to see that we had a couple of volunteers and then support for the folks that stood up first. So if that method works for this group, I think that would be a good way to go. So again, if you're interested in volunteering and you'll have support from me and Dave and the rest of the ICANN staff, please email to the group your name, affiliation, and statement of interest by Friday. And then moving on to the last item within the next step section, and this is, James, you had raised a question before about milestones. Would you mind reiterating your question?
Yeah, Craig, thanks. So my question was essentially what is the timeline for this group? What are the expected outputs? Are we looking to generate a report feed into the draft applicant guidebook, or is this going directly to the community or to the board or some other group? Periods will be required for public comment or constituency stakeholder group statements, and all of those things that normally are key events that occur in the lifeline of a PDP.
Right.
Which of those apply to this group?
Right. So all that's good questions. In terms of the timeline, at least from my perspective, and I'm certainly open to what others in the group think, I feel like we're working towards development of a report or a concept paper that would have a lot of ideas pretty fleshed out by the time we get to Nairobi, so that something could be posted in advance of that meeting to start to solicit public comment, but also generate discussion in person for those traveling to Nairobi or those participating remotely. So I do see a report as being the output of this group. And in terms of milestones and or input to the draft applicant guidebook, I think that on the next call we'll probably dive into a lot more of those specific details. If folks do have comment or input on those items, if you could circulate it on the list, that would be great. I do think that we need to, finally define the mechanics, the work that we need to get done, the principles guiding the work, the requirements, and the controls for the types of solution or solutions that we might come up with. And with any good project, it's important to identify milestones. And what I'll do in advance of the next call is circulate a draft agenda and have a little bit more of that information provided in detail, so when we get on the call on the 8th, we'll have a starting place to work from. So I don't think I answered all of your questions, but I know that we will get to them, as we start our work.
Yeah, this is Craig. This is Kurt. So I think you're exactly right. We'd like a report that we could post for public comment during the Nairobi meeting. The report may be clear enough that we could also create in that report what a draft model in the guidebook would look like. But then the work of this group could continue, but would also be, open to public comment, so that we could, hone the final guidebook and put it on this issue before the Brussels meeting. So a draft, a paper and a draft model for Nairobi, and then the final model for Brussels.
Thanks, Kurt. Any questions or comments about the next steps section of the agenda? Well, it looks like we're moving on to item number 4, which is kind of open mic, general comments, questions. We've got a little bit more than 10 minutes left in the call. So if folks either want to raise their hand in the Adobe room or simply speak up, now is the opportunity. We have silence on the other end. Oh, I see Rick Wilhelm has raised his hand. Go ahead, Rick.
Sure. This is one of the things that, Jonathan, I got your email that I saw it. You had listed there a bunch of legitimate uses of zone file access. I was wondering if folks had opinions on the kinds of uses of zone file access that we ought to be looking to prevent. Minimize any illegitimate uses or desires for use. Do folks have thoughts on that, about what things we need to be concerned about?
So I'll chime in here. I think from a facilitator perspective, I think we need to look at both sides of the coin, right? We need to look at both legitimate, but also what are the harms or the illegitimate purposes that folks access data now, and that needs to be part of the report that we assemble to give the community, you know, the broad perspective on this issue, you know, the good and the bad. So while folks may not want to chime up about it now, I do think that we need to be considering what you just raised, Rick.
Yeah, this is Dave Piscatello. I'm not on the Adobe. Sorry about that. But I think that you know, basic security principles would suggest that you know, access to zone files is part of intelligence gathering for anyone who would want to you know, do any sort of mining for a malicious activity at the principal. So I think that you can consider the possibility of people who would want to get zone files to observe activity for either you know, possibly some sort of front-running behavior or possibly some sort of targeting, working back from domains to IPs to understand a little bit more about what a company topology looks like or a corporate topology looks like. You can do an awful lot with, you know, with the zone file if you really want to think about, you know, think about the kinds of attacks that you might want to perpetrate. And not just on a, you know, on a spear target, but on a broader target. So, you know, you might go and census to see what name servers are most densely populated to, you know, to focus a denial of service attack on, or to try to understand how diverse a topology an organization has with respect to its name service, to see whether you could take out not just one, but perhaps a number of targets simultaneously by focusing an attack on a particular part of the DNS. So there's an awful lot of things you can speculate. How many of those things are actually legitimate risks, and how many of those things are already considered in certain defensive postures by organizations with domain names, is probably another area we could talk about.
Mike O'Connor, did you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, Craig, this is Mikey. I had a question about the organizational form of all this. Let's presume that some sort of technical solution is arrived at. Is it also in our scope to describe who would be running this affair?
I'm sorry, say that. Say the very last part of your sentence, Mike. I couldn't hear you.
Oh, sorry. I'm just curious who runs this thing if we decide on one.
Yeah, so I think that's one of the questions that we need to answer, you know, that'll come out of the work that we do together. You know, who are the appropriate organizations to provide the service? I think that may actually be one of the questions and the elements to be considered at the bottom of the briefing document. Jonathan, you had a question?
Well,
a comment?
I did, yes. One of the questions that Rick rolled was the I noticed in the questions on elements to be considered, we didn't really cover what you know, malicious activity might be, because we talk about the legitimate in question four, but we really don't talk about malicious activity. And I think that Greg covered quite a few. One of the items I did put out that in the disadvantages to centralized access that, you know, somebody, a malicious party would have mass access to all zones. But, you know, the upside of that is that that's one giant Frankenstein switch you can throw and shut off their access.
Yeah, I think your comment echoes Rick Wilhelm's comment about looking at, you know, the illegitimate uses of of zone file data. So, and I think that subject would be covered, you know, during the during our work together.
I also wanted to comment that we might want to be careful with a public list of circulating some of these ideas, because we might, you know, give people ideas that they might not have otherwise come up with if they are malicious users. If there's a way to, you know, there are certain parts of this we may want to air in public, but we may want to socialize these otherwise.
Yeah, so that's a good point, Jonathan.
This is Dave Piscatello again. This is one of the tricky situations we found ourselves in when we were working on FastFlux in the GNSO as a working group, and it's one of the reasons why ESSAC doesn't actually make public its record the audio of its conference calls. I mean, part of the problem of working on a issue that has significant data sensitivity and security issues is that you don't want to reveal, you know, some of the, you know, what if scenarios. One of the things we want to do is, you know, with the approval of the people in the working group is consult with ICANN Council about the most appropriate way to distribute information and the audio cast of this call before we publish it.
Brian Q getting in the queue.
Yeah, Dave. Thanks for the comment, and I do think we need to have an offline conversation about this. And I've taken a note of your point, and we'll follow up.
Ken Stubbs, put me in the queue too, please, Craig.
Sure, Brian Q. You want to go ahead?
Yeah, please. And I did miss about 20 minutes at the beginning, so I apologize if this was articulated. If so, just let me know. But has the problem, the specific problem that is trying to be solved here, been articulated? Other than there's an assumption that scalability is a problem. I think that that shouldn't be an assumption. But putting that to aside, because we need to explore that, has the specific problem been articulated? And if so, could you tell me what it is?
So I don't know if the specific problem, if the specific problem has been articulated, other than in the discussion about the scalability. And I don't know if you caught any of Rod's presentation, looking at how this works from the point of the consumers and the registries. And I think primarily the discussion has centered around scalability, but also, you know, making it simpler to administer and making it cost effective for a larger segment of the registry community, and making it easier for the right folks to get access to the zones that they need. So we may very well need to, you know, make the first order of business on our next call answering that very specific question, so we all get clear, you know, how the work funnels from that.
That's a great idea.
Okay. Ken Stubbs.
Yeah, I've got a couple of issues I'd like to run out, at least to help frame this thing as we move on down the road here. The first issue has to do with the fact that if we're taking a process like this and proposing and moving it into a, I don't want to use this word legislative, but let's into a quasi-legislative type of body, let's assume you had some sort of control over the administration of the process, we run into an issue where it becomes increasingly difficult, if you have a bad actor, to get the bad actors shut down, because one of the advantages the registries could have is that they can be a little more capricious or a little more arbitrary and act much faster than maybe an organization like ICANN given the processes that you're obligated to go through, it could take a significant period of time. And I point out the examples with registrars. You know, you really have to go a long way to get them either out of business or shut down. You're trying to accelerate it, but it's still difficult. And I think we have to be able to acknowledge that we have to have the ability to get the bad actors shut down as quickly as possible, and as quickly as possible has to be a practical time frame. And that, so at least we have to consider that. The other issue is the one that was brought up by Dave, and that is, I think we need to have the ability, we have to have the ability, if we need to get clearance from JJ or whoever it may be, to take parts of future conference calls and take them, you know, go off the mic or whatever you want to say, and close those parts so that we can drill down on certain issues that may arise or that people may want to surface that they're reluctant to discuss in a committee like this. I know we have obligations for transparency, but SECSAC has been able to deal with that by its own very nature. And I think it's important for us to get clearance up front so we don't run into an issue down the road. Craig, thanks for hearing me out.
Thanks, Ken. It's now just a little bit past the top of the hour. I think there may be one or two hands left in the queue, and what I'd like to do is get to those and then close out for the day. Rod, did you want to say something?
Yeah, thanks. Just to the last point, I think it would be helpful to get some actual data about the scale of what, how many people are accessing things, and then how many people may have been had to access denied for something that they've done that has raised the ire of the registry involved. So we know kind of what the scale of abuse is. I have no clue. I don't know if we've got lots of people out there doing bad things or just one or two occasionally that some of they kind of go out of bounds with. But gathering some data is always good for forming some models and ideas. So if there's anything that the registries can share on their experiences, I think that would be really helpful for guiding the work we do.
Thanks, Rod. Are there any other questions or comments that folks would like to raise today?
This is Dave Piscatello again.
Hi, Dave.
I think one of the important benefits that we might want to consider is the ability when you do have some sort of secure portal that provides a single point of access and a single and uniform way to vet subscribers or consumers of zone data is that you also have a very, very good control and audit point. And understanding precisely who gets copies and being able to, track the data as it's consumed is one of the benefits you can derive from such an architecture.
Thanks, Dave. Before we close out the call, I do want to make another pitch for co-chairs to step up to help advance this work. And again, if you could email to the list your name and your interest in co-chairing, if you could do that by Friday, that would be really helpful. Again, the next call will be on Friday, January 8th at 1500 UTC. And any materials that need to that will be used during the call, whether they're presentations, the agenda, et cetera, will all be provided in advance of that call. So unless anyone has anything else to say for today, I think we'll wrap this up and thank everyone for their time and their commitment, and look forward to working with you.
Have a good one.
Thanks, Greg.
Adios.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.